and welcome to episode 216 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to wait for the air conditioner repairman to show up when your AC isn't working. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we are talking about how to get comfy while playing board games. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, The Light in the Mist and Fruto Play. Then, we talk about how to make long gaming sessions less physically uncomfortable. And now, here are your hosts,
Amby
and Crystal.
Recently, I got a review copy of The Light in the Mist from Post Curious. This is a puzzle game designed by Jack Follows and Rita Orlov, published by Post Curious.
I love the cover. That's so pretty.
Yeah. So Post Curious makes a lot of different puzzle games that I've reviewed before. I've gotten review copies too. I'm blanking out on all the names. There was the Emerald Fame. There was Morrison Factory, which was recent. So The Light in the Mist is a tarot-themed puzzle game. All their puzzle games are like different themes and very thematic and very physical. I really like puzzle games, escape room type things, and this is another similar type of game. So in The Light of the Mist, you have a tarot deck of cards. It's actually like a tarot deck with the major arcana and the minor arcana, which I didn't know much about before, but it's basically like there's 22 cards, I think, in the major arcana. There's like the Fool and the Empress and a bunch of cards, and then there's a deck of cards that's the minor arcana that's like it's not like a regular deck of cards. It has different suits, like swords.
Yeah, cups
and
is one of
cups,
the suits.
Yeah, so but it's like ace through 10 and then page. It has different names. It's not Jack. It's like page and something. And anyway, it has a lot of cards and they're all tarot size and they all have different art on it. And the art is really nice, but the art is the puzzles. So it comes with a book that has passages you read for each card and a story. And I'm trying not going to spoil too much because this is a puzzle game. So like everything's going to be a spoiler, but I'm going to just try to explain a little bit. And it also comes with a journal in a backpack, which is just a paper, kind of an envelope glued together, like cardstock envelope glued together. And that's called your journal and backpack. You write the solutions in your journal, and then sometimes you get items when you go through solutions and you write them in your backpack. So the way it works is you're reading through the passages. You have to solve the first tarot card deck, the number 0, and then the last one at the end, the number 22, the World, I think. But all the other tarot decks, you can go in any order you want. And it says like, whatever you feel like you want to do, you can take that tarot card. And each tarot card is a puzzle, and it uses different cards from the minor arcana deck in that puzzle. So each card, like the Ace of Cups or something, is used in multiple puzzles. And they have little symbols at the top that tell you like which puzzles they're in. So each puzzle has a symbol, and then you're going to find the cards for that symbol. And then it has a puzzle. And it's really cool because like the art is really pretty, but it's also part of the puzzle. So you see like, oh, this is in this one and this is here, and you're doing these puzzles. And I really like doing puzzles like that. The puzzles are also surprisingly different. There was a variety of puzzles. Some of them I got quickly. Some of them like worked well with my brain, and some of them I needed hints. With all Post Curious games, I like the hint system a lot. There's hints online on their website. You can click on whichever card you need hints on. Some cards also have multiple solutions, so you can check how many solutions are on the card. And then it goes through like 10 steps or something. Like, this is what you need to solve the puzzle. And then, did you look at this? And like, how about this? So it goes through step by step on the hints, which is nice. And then it shows you the solution at the end. When you find a solution, each solution is a word. You check in the back of your book and it has like a list of words, and it'll tell you a passage to read. So like, you get the solution and you read the passage. And at the beginning of each card, you also read a passage, and it's going through a story, which I also liked the story. It's a coming of age story. And so there's a content warning. It deals with some non-happy themes in coming of age. So it says it's for ages 14 plus because of the story. But I guess you could theoretically do the puzzles without doing the story. You can also just read the story without doing the puzzles, because you can just read all the passages in the book, which is actually really interesting, because I did when you do the puzzles, you're just reading the passages out of order and you're kind of piecing together this story, which is kind of cool. And then at the end of the book, at the end of the game, I looked through the book, and it's like, if you could just read through the book, you would get the story in order. And so like, you could do it that way too. And then also at the end of the game, you can just use it as a tarot deck, I guess. It has, at the end of the book, it shows like some little blurbs of each tarot card, which I assume are what tarot card. I don't know much about tarot cards, but I assume like that's what tarot cards are like. It has like a little blurb about each card. So yeah, I enjoyed this. I played it over, it says it's 300 to 500 minutes. I did it over 1, 2, 3, 4, like 6 sessions, I guess, of between 30 minutes and 1.5 hours each.
So that's a decent amount of gameplay.
Yeah. And I was like good with my hint usage. I used hints when I got too stuck. So it can also take a lot longer if you're not using hints. I guess also I ended up reading a lot at the end, so the last session probably wouldn't have been that long if I didn't just read. I was reading like everything, and there's bonus puzzles at the end too, so yeah. But this is The Light and the Mist. It feels very thematic. The story goes with the puzzles. Like, there's a reason you have a tarot deck in the story, so like the physical part of the puzzles kind of goes with the story, which is kind of cool. I think with all of Postcurious games, like, it always feels thematic, and like the physical parts make sense, which is neat. So I like this. It's their smallest game of their, like, physically smallest game of theirs that I've played, because usually they have like a lot of components, but this was just a tarot deck and the journal backpack thing. So if you like art, like pretty art in puzzles, like puzzle games with nice art and like tarot deck, the idea of that theme and a coming of age story, then The Light and the Mist was a lot of fun.
And really, I mean, Postcurious, they make a lot of really awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's easy to recommend most of their stuff, but this one sounds especially interesting.
Yeah, it was different.
I recently got to play a trick-taking-esque card game called Fruto Play. This is a set collection game where all of the cards have fruit on them, and in a kind of trick-taking style, you are trying to collect cards to build sets. The game is played over 3 rounds, and you can play with 2 to 6 players. I should say that the game was designed by Romeric Gallonier and Luc Raymond, published by Explorate and Barrel Aged Games. So in the game, cards get dealt out to all of the players, around 7 cards that can vary depending on player count, and then you play through 7 tricks essentially in each round, and there is a river of cards that's in the middle of the table for every round of play that gets laid out, and you can see all of the cards in the river the whole time, so you know exactly what's coming. Whatever card is completely showing, meaning the one like kind of on top of the splayed out line of cards, is the one for the first round, and then somebody will pick that up, and then so on and so forth. So like in the first round, let's say there is an 8 banana card showing in the middle. All of the players will simultaneously choose a card from their hand to play into the trick and then reveal them simultaneously. Whoever played the closest number of the same suit will win the trick. And if no one played the same suit as the card on the table, then whoever played the closest number of a different suit will take the card. The reason why this gets interesting and tricky almost immediately is because at the end of the round, so again, you're going to play those 7 tricks that are from the 7 cards that are in the river in the middle of the table. At the end of the round, all of the players score the number of fruit in their highest fruit column that they've collected times the number of fruit in the lowest fruit column they've collected. And zeros don't count. So if you didn't collect a certain type of fruit, that doesn't matter. Mm. So in theory, ideally the best round for you would be to collect a ton of a single type of fruit, because then it is both your highest and lowest. Ooh, yeah. So you would times it by itself, which is very difficult to do, we found out, because inevitably you'll play an offsuit card that's far away numerically, and somebody else will play one that is a little further away numerically, and you'll end up taking sometimes cards of multiple suits all in a single trick. And now you've got, okay, well, I only have one apple and I've got one banana, but I've got a whole bunch. Okay, yeah. So, and on top of that, some of the cards are also rotten fruit, and they will negate the good fruit in your pile. You have to basically X out a fruit for a rotten fruit that you've collected. It plays ridiculously fast. Like, 7 tricks, 3 rounds, that's it. And it's crazy fast because of the simultaneous card play. So this is a really good filler game. I loved it. I thought it was really neat. This is not one of those games for people who are looking for like really intense strategy, because you're only dealt a certain number of cards. And if you lose, the players who lose a trick all get to draw a card. So that you, even if you start off with not a lot of options, you may get to draw more. But in games of this nature, sometimes you just don't have the cards in your hand, and you can end up getting demolished by really no fault of your own. But I would say this kind of falls in the same line for me as like Push or other like card games of that nature that are great to have on hand to just whip out, play really quick, like maybe Mantis, things like that. They're light, they're easy to teach, they're quick to play, they're brightly colored, it's really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. This was another one that I kind of bought without really knowing what it was from an online order, and I am very happy I did. I think this is what is a nice addition to my collection. So that is Fruto Play.
What made you buy it? Just like the name or?
I think I looked it up and saw that it was a trick-taking game, which it really, like, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. Uh-huh. But I like light set collection card games. That tends to be a genre that is pretty fun. And yeah, like, okay, watching us on YouTube right now, you can't see, but like the front of the box literally has like a rotten apple chasing after a good apple. And it's so funny to me. Like,
yeah.
How could you not, right? Like, and I don't know, like, Fruto Play is also a weird name. I don't understand. Yeah. I assume that there might be something in the translation from French to English in how this, in the name. I would be curious to know if the name is different in French. I don't know, but I liked it. As you all know, we have been hosting this podcast now for coming up on 8.5 years. And one of the things that has happened over the course of those 8.5 years is we've gotten older.
We've aged. Time has passed. What?
Like, yeah, I turn 40 in December, Ambie. Wow. I'm going to be 40. And A, that blows my mind because I definitely don't feel like what I used to think 40 was. Like, I remember my dear sweet mother, who I love, like her 40th birthday party, I remember them putting out all of the old like over the hill decor with the black balloons and the like gravestones and stuff, like, which she hated, by the way. She did not want that, and they did it anyway. And I am just like thinking back to that, and I'm like, I'm not even remotely close to over any hills, and neither was my mother. And why is that a thing? I think it's less prevalent now than it was before. Yeah. But needless to say, we have aged, and as we've aged, I've come to realize that sitting in a chair and playing board games for an entire day is harder than it used to be physically on my body.
Yeah, I actually haven't like experienced this as much because the last 5 years I haven't had the chance to sit and play board games for an entire day. So
you're too busy chasing your small children.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I feel like I wouldn't be able to do it.
It's funny because I feel like mentally I can still handle a decent amount of gaming. Like, you know, like anybody else, there are good days and bad. And sometimes your brain is just like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to think anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think mentally I am still more prepared. And as I'm getting older, and I will admit I'm not always in like the best shape of my life, it hurts more to sit or to stay still and not move around for a long period of time, especially if you're in like a gaming convention or maybe a friend's house where like the seating isn't super cushiony or other things. And so we thought, being the not old ladies that we are, that we could talk about ways to make gaming physically more comfy, because I always want to be comfortable. It is one of my favorite things to be. Like, I will climb into my bed and just like lay there sometimes because I have like a really nice mattress and it's just one of the most comfortable things in my house. And so if I got nowhere else to be, I'll like pick up a book and I'll read in bed and it's just delightful.
I think one thing that's not like making anything physically more comfortable, but like one thing you can do to help if you're doing like a long gaming session is like, you're not meant to sit in one place for a long time. So like getting up and stretching every once in a while, or getting up and taking a walk can help, and just take a small break, take a bathroom break.
Literally anything, right?
Yeah. I think I remember like giving advice about conventions too. And that was one of my advice, like go walk around. You don't want to be sitting at the table all day. Like literally, you need to get up and take a bathroom break or like walk around. When you take a bathroom break is a good time, like, because you can walk around, stretch.
Also, if you're not taking frequent bathroom breaks, that means you're not hydrating enough. Drink more water.
Yeah, I drink a lot of water. So my bathroom breaks help with that. But yeah, you can stretch. And yeah, so like, if like, even if your seating isn't like super comfortable and stuff, or like, even if it is comfortable, you should still get up and take breaks and walk.
Yes. You, Ambi, stream on your personal Twitch channel on Monday evenings with twitch.tv/AmbiRona, AmbiRona, for those of you who are not aware, where you play a lot of puzzle video games with our good friend Joe Sondow. And something that Joe does during his streams that I think is really neat is he has an automatic timer set to play music to remind him to get up and dance. Yeah. Every now and then, because for him personally, it helps stave off migraines. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people have smart devices in their houses, whether that's like a Google Home or an Alexa or even, you know, your smart watch, your smartphone. I feel like you could probably set up something relatively easily to play. Like if you're doing a really long game day, like maybe even once an hour, have it automatically start your favorite playlist and everybody gets up and grooves for just like a minute, you know, like just get up and shake out, get out the like stiffness and whatnot. And A, it'll be a fun little like moment for everybody to like get up and dance together. And B, it'll make everybody be a little bit healthier because the human body was not intended to sit constantly. It wasn't intended to stand constantly either. And striking that balance is nigh impossible, but we can try.
Yeah. But then for while you're sitting, what do you like sitting in to be comfortable?
Okay, so that's a good point. When I got my table from Wormwood Gaming, I had talked about getting like fancy gaming chairs, and I still have not done that for a few reasons, money being one of them. But really, like my game room is relatively tight on space, and so it has been kind of nice to just use decent looking folding chairs because they're easier to like move around and to put away if we need to shift stuff around or whatever else. But folding chairs, even if they have a cushion on them, it's not a lot of good support. And so I've started acquiring memory foam seat cushions that I can put on those chairs. And literally just that little addition helps a good deal, at least for me, in sitting for longer periods of time. I have super long legs and I tend to like bounce my legs around a lot. And if my legs are like hanging off of a chair and don't have like enough support, then I kind of like lose blood flow and it gets uncomfortable sometimes for me. Like I hate high top chairs at like bars and things like that. If anyone ever asks, do you want a high top or a low top? I'm like, give me the low top, please, because I cannot let my legs dangle. They're too long. It hurts. So yeah, like memory foam cushions have been a godsend and I'm just like slowly acquiring those over time. Eventually, I think I'll have enough for all of the folding chairs to have one, but I think I own like 4 or 5 now. And so most days that people come over to play games, everybody gets one.
Cool. Yeah, I don't have anything special for my chairs. Our game room, it has dining chairs that came with our house and also a dining table that came with our house. So they have like cushions on them. They're upholstered or whatever with the fabric falling off because I have to like redo that at some point. But so those cushions are like better than the folding chair that I use here at this table that I'm recording at. But, yeah, I haven't tried sitting in them for a long time in a while. So
yeah, because like a dining chair, I assume, is designed to not be sat in for very long, right? Like it's designed.
How long do people eat?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess if you're real fancy, yeah, but
could be like
I would say, I would imagine that most dining chairs are made more for aesthetic purposes than for comfort, because. Yeah. Your dining room is kind of intended to be like a nice looking room. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't have a dining room. I just turned the dining room into the game room and just was like, nope, no dining room.
That's what our dining room is. Yeah. And my kids are like, what is a dining room? And they're like,
that's a place where normal people have a table.
So they think like a dining room is a restaurant.
Okay.
They're like, that kind of makes dining sense. Room is the room at the restaurant. like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. Something for me that I have also become more cognizant about as I've gotten older is the temperature in a room, especially because my game room is kind of small and a little bit like secluded. Like it doesn't have great airflow from the rest of the house. And so I try and be really cognizant of the temperature in that room. Mm-hmm. So I will often have like a little like oscillating fan outside of the room, like in the hallway, kind of just blowing air back and forth into the room just for airflow purposes, not necessarily mm-hmm. for cooling purposes. But since it is Vegas and like right now in the summertime, it's so hot. Like right now it's past 8 o'clock at night and it's still 103 degrees outside. So It's real hot all the time. And so, but even in the winter, like, I want to make sure that the people that I'm gaming with are comfortable. And so I try and ask people like, hey, is it too hot? Is it too cold? That's stuff that I didn't used to think about as much when I was younger. I think because younger bodies in general, I think, are just able to tolerate more things more easily. And so now that I'm getting older, I'm like, maybe not everybody's super comfy all the time. And so I'm trying to be cognizant of that stuff.
Yeah, we don't have AC. So it's just like we could open the window if it's too hot. But I think downstairs, it's usually not too hot. And also at night, it's usually not too hot here where we live. We also have like tea or something if people want it when it's cold. Well, I guess any temperature. I guess that can be kind of comfortable, having a nice beverage.
I would say lighting can also factor into comfort in a little bit of a way, depending. Because it's interesting because the type of lighting can matter. Like, I know for me and for a lot of people that suffer from headaches or migraines, like, fluorescent lights can really be, like, awful. Like, it's kind of just, like, poison in light form for some people. Not a lot of houses utilize fluorescent lighting, I don't think, but some do. Actually, the house I grew up in, we had a finished basement that had a drop ceiling with fluorescence all over it. It was weird, like, kind of. But yeah, like, the lighting in our basement, when I was a kid, I didn't care. But after I grew up, I was like, dang, I was like, that, like, would have sucked once I had all my migraines or whatever else. But you want things to be bright enough that people can see the game and the components and be able to read things, especially if anyone has any visual impairments. You want to make sure everything is clear. But you also don't want to like blind people with the surface of the sun. So, you know, striking that balance and making sure everybody can read but isn't, you know, completely overwhelmed is something to consider as well.
Mm-hmm. Our lighting's okay, I think. I think one time, like, one of our light bulbs burned out and then, or no, we, like, just change it and people are like, whoa, your lighting's different. But I think usually it's okay.
It's all interesting because I think this is the kind of stuff that you just think about as you get older. When you're younger, you just don't care, right? Like, about these types of things, especially like you're renting or you're at your friend's house or whatever. And it just, like, this kind of stuff isn't really something that you concern yourself with. But once you, if you own a home and you want to host a game day or game night and you want it to be a really nice event, these are the types of things that you can do that, like, they might seem like little things, but they can really change the experience in some dramatic ways. And so I think that's something that I would imagine especially younger gamers might not consider. And I probably didn't consider as much when I was younger. Like, I know I would just, throw folding chairs around on whatever table and we would game. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, my poor, like, friends that were a little bit older than me, like, oh my gosh, making them sit on folding chairs. I feel bad now.
We still have folding chairs when we have a lot of people over.
I mean, at that, when it's like, a lot of people, there's, you know, I think nobody expects a nice chair for everybody. Well, we would love to hear from you all. How do you make your game days comfy and cozy? Are there things that we're missing? Should we be gaming in hammocks? Should I actually board game in bed? Hit us up on social.
I don't want to fall asleep while you're playing board games.
Girl, I got ADHD. I can't fall asleep if I try, so it's fine. But yeah, let us know how you make gaming more comfy. Hit us up on social media or in the Board Game Blitz Discord. Link to join the Discord is in the show notes.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, BoardGameBlitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. The people demand more Midgard, and Gray Fox has answered the call. Head to GrayFoxGames.com to pick up Clans of Midgard and Reavers of Midgard, the card game, both available now. And don't forget to use the code BGBlitz24 at checkout for 20% off any non-exclusive items in your cart. Join the Blitzkrieger community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgamelists today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, it's my turn. It's now or never. They ain't gonna wait forever. I just need to take my turn tonight. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Where all of the card, all the card, the one card,
that card,
one card to rule them all.